know, that's part of the process of coming to gather together in worship, is to prepare your heart before you come. Sometimes it is such a busy morning, things are going on, maybe our lives are having issues. Anybody ever have issues? That you can't really prepare your heart. But you know, it's not something that takes hours, it only takes a couple of minutes. So let's just take a moment. Let's prepare our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just come before you right now, Lord. Come before you, Lord, with hunger, Lord, with expectation. Lord, we leave all of the distractions of life aside right now. We turn to you, Jesus. Jesus, you're the author of our faith. You're the one that started this thing. You're the one, Lord, that's going to finish it. So, Lord, today we just set aside all of the issues, everything that's been trying to weigh us down, everything that's been trying to hold us back, everything that's been trying to keep us from your face. We just set them aside right now, Lord. We just set them aside in Jesus' name. And Lord, we come boldly before your throne. Oh, yes, Lord, we come boldly before your throne. Lord, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we look for that grace and that mercy right now. We look, Lord, for that help, Lord, right now for our lives. And Lord, we prepare our hearts right now to give you awesome praise, to give you worship, Lord, to give back to you, Lord, what you gave back to us from our breath, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. We thank you, Lord, that you're here in a mighty, weighty way right now, Lord. We thank you, God, that heaven is here right now. Lord, that heaven is here, that your presence is here, that your angels are here, Lord. Your kingdom is here right now, God. Lord, we just submit right now to the kingdom of God. We submit right now to heaven right now, Lord. We just come under your authority. We come under your rulership. We come under your kingdom and dominion right now, Lord. And we receive, Lord, everything that you have for us today. We receive, Lord, your peace. We receive, Lord, your love. We receive your comfort, Holy Spirit. We receive healing. Healing for our hearts. Healing for our emotions. Healing for our bodies. Oh, we just enter into your presence right now. Just wait on you, Lord. We renew our strength right now, God. We renew ourselves right now in our King and our Lord. We just come into that oneness we have with you. Full unity with God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand and let's just worship him.
The whole earth with holy thunder, who brings us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for brings our chaos? Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphans a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations? Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shine like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So worthy, worthy, oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place.
Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. all that you've done for me.
This morning I got a phone call from my daughter in Cleveland, and she was sharing with me some things that were happening in their really big city. It's like I could swallow Yakima in one bite. But she was saying how after being there for almost a year, she's finally learned not to have to use the GPS on her phone to get where she's going. And I said to her, I said, that must be so freeing that you don't have to be, you know, hear this voice going, you know, at the next 100 feet, take a right turn, you know. And all of a sudden the Lord said, that's a message. What are we tethered to? What are we dependent upon? What's chained us that our freedom is not found? The only tether we should have is Jesus. And not needing anything else but Him. But a lot of us are tethered to what others think about us, what we think about ourselves, what our habits are, what our hang-ups are even. Cut the tie. Break the chain. Let Jesus give you the freedom that is truly free. Like that GPS, she doesn't need it anymore. We don't need the things of this world anymore. We're to be of the world, or in the world, but not of the world. So let's sing this freedom part. Glenn, I don't even know where that's at, but let's sing that again. And people, trust me, we need to look free. If we are free inside, we need to be acting like we're free instead of chained down. Don't be chained down anymore. Be free. If any of you are noticing little Skyly up here, that girl's dancing before the Lord. She may look like a child, and she is a child, but blessed are those that are like that, that will inherit the kingdom of God. Yes. Be free. Yes. Be free. Whatever it is, be free. This child's heart is so pure before the Lord, and that's where I want my heart to be. Amen?
Down your life, there I would be set free. You lay down, get down your life, there I would be set free. You would lay down your life, there I would be set free. You lay down your life. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
One more time, you're lifting my load.
You lift my load. You lift my load. You lift my load. You lift my load. You lift my load. You lift my load. You lift my load. You lift my load. You walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship.
Jesus, we love you.
without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. You set the table, so here we are to feast. You set the table, here we are to feast. You set the table, here we are to feast. We're hungry for you, Jesus. So won't you come and feed? You set the table. Here we are to feast. You were made a way for endless love and peace. So I'm clinging to you, Jesus, with everything I have. 'Cause you're my one.
just become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. So I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker.
I give it all to you, God, trust. And it's you, yes, it's you. There's a light at the end of my tunnel, and it's you, yes, it's you. You are my hope, Lord. You are my trust, Lord. You are the reason I can sing. You are my hope, Lord. In you I trust, Lord. You are the reason I can sing. There's a light at the end of my tunnel, and it's you, Lord. Yes, it's you. There's a light at the end of my tunnel, and it's you, Lord. Yes, it's you.
I feel there's a one, two, maybe a bunch of us who feel that they're in a tunnel, and it's weighty. It's been a long tunnel. It's been a steep climb at the same time, and you've been holding on. You've been grasping, trying to stay sure-footed. And all of a sudden in your heart, you feel a hope arising. You sense a new day dawning. You feel the Lord's breath blowing. And it's a light at the end of this tunnel. And it is Him. And it's not just waiting for you to get there. He's coming. He's entering into your tunnel. He's entering into your darkness. He's entering into the weightiness of this moment. And He's taking your hand. And He's walking with you the rest of the way of the tunnel. He's walking with you in the darkness. And for those who are really weak, He's now carrying you through the tunnel. He's supporting you every step of the way. He's telling you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Believe this as a promise, He says. I will never leave you alone. And He's saying, you have not been alone in this tunnel. It's just you haven't seen my light. You haven't seen my presence, but I've been here the whole time. Yeah, there's a light at the end of our tunnel, folks, and it is Him. And He's coming. He's coming to rescue. He's coming to save. He's coming to just stay in a place where you know His presence is there. Thank you, Jesus.
belong to you. Abba, I belong to you. Yes, Abba.
Places you will take me. I see the places you will take me, and I won't be afraid. 'Cause I'm not my own strength. No, I'm not my own strength. I see the places you will take me. I see the places you will take me, but I won't be afraid. 'Cause I'm not my own strength. No, it's Christ in me, the King of all the glory. The reason I have a story, because you love me from the start. You gave your life, your heart, all for me. So I can stand and sing and give this offering. It's all by your own strength. It's Christ who lives in. Abba, I belong to you. Yeah. Abba, I belong to you. Abba,
circumstances may be in our life that say contrary to that, or voices in our head that try to dissuade us from that. Lord, we belong to you. Lord, we just don't belong to you, Lord, like some piece of property that you just have an asset for, but we belong to you in such a way, Lord, that you cherish us. You love us, Lord. You treasure us. Lord, you adore us. You sing over us. That's hard for our natural minds to comprehend. That's hard for us to take in. But it doesn't matter, because it's still the truth. It's still the truth. Lord, let this truth penetrate us today in such a way that we know it in an experiential way, God, that we belong to you. We belong to you. Daddy, we belong to you. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus, and we belong to you. We were redeemed from the darkness of this world, the darkness of the kingdom of darkness, and we now belong to you. We have your light. We have your life. We have your blood. We have your breath. We are yours, Lord. We belong to you. Lord, we just receive today, Lord, that reality that we belong to you.
We receive, Lord, that reality, Lord, that I am my beloved's and he is mine, and that your love rests over us. We receive your goodness, God. We receive your love today, Lord. We just receive it now by faith in our hearts and our lives. We believe it, Lord, that we belong to you. We receive it, Lord, that we belong to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Breaking this atmosphere, there's something that's been on my heart this morning. I shared it with our worship team earlier, but it's from Psalm 133. Let me get this out. I'm going to read this because this is crucial, I feel, to where we are as a church right now. And if any of you know this, it's about unity. And there's been this craving, I will say, if any of you have ever smoked or anything ugly like that, you'll know what it is to have a craving for something. And it's just a deep desire, a longing within you. And it's not something you can necessarily control. You have to teach yourself to. But this is one of those godly cravings. I think you guys will see what I mean. So it's about unity. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It is as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon. For from this realm of sweet harmony, God will release eternal blessing, the promise of life forever. And this unity is something that I just so long for. And I think each of us has a deep longing, not just for a sense of belonging in a community, but to actually have people that we do life with every day, for people that we know we can count on, for people that we can be open, that we can be transparent with. And I feel like right now, this is the time that God is going to establish a new standard of unity in our church. So all those petty little things that have gotten between us in relationships before, he's coming with his broom. And he's going to just sweep all that stuff out, right? So I would encourage you guys as we go forward, you know, we're always growing. We're going from glory to glory. You know, we've had a number of people that have left this church in the past few years, but you know, we're going from glory to glory. It doesn't make sense in the natural how subtraction can equal addition, but I'm telling you what, God is taking us from glory to glory. So that being said, let's cast all those the weights aside, the things we've been holding on to, the tension in our relationships with people, the stones that we're holding in our hands, right? We're singing about, I will climb this mountain with my hand wide open. Well, instead of holding that stone against your brother or sister, why don't we grab their hand instead? So this heavenly harmony that David is talking about here, it is, as verse 1 says, to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. And we know each of our lives is a song. So we're going to go to a whole nother level here. Each of our lives is a song, right? And I think each day we write a new part to that song. Well, if any of you guys know about music, there's the melody and the harmony. And the harmony is the thing that comes in behind the melody, and it's a supporting role. So this heavenly harmony This is the thing that's going to carry us into the new direction, guys. God is taking us somewhere. And how many of you guys want to see where God's taking us? Is anybody ready? Okay. If we're ready to do that, then we need to have community. So this doesn't just mean us hanging out more, but it does mean us hanging out more. It means going out of your way to love people. It means not doing what's easy. It means doing what you know somebody else needs because they're important to you. And guys, we're all important to our Father. He doesn't pick favorites. Sometimes we think he does because we start comparing ourselves and other people, but he doesn't pick favorites, and we can't afford to either in the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. This is his house. He doesn't tolerate that kind of business. That's nonsense here. So let's just go forward. Let's love each other new, a fresh love. Father, you planted this word in our hearts today. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, you come and blow in us. You bring the refreshing winds that cause new air, that cause new atmospheres, that cause new growth. And then the rain of the Spirit right now, you just pour. And then the light of God, you just germinate that seed that you've planted within us. And God, we're ready to sprout. We're ready to sprout new branches, new growth. And God, we're looking forward to the fruit you're going to bear through this. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you get up and greet each other
give
and
give someone
some love. Give some love, hugs.
Well, praise the Lord. So next Sunday immediately following the service, in room 107 over here, we'll have a real short financial meeting of 2014. So if you can make that, join us, that'd be wonderful. If not, just ask for a report and I'll get a report to you. Now, July 19th is going to be a different Sunday. We actually aren't even going to be in the building. We're going to be in heaven. No, just kidding. Yeah, to be announced, location. No, we're going to be outside. There's going to be tents. There's going to be snow cones, cotton candy, hot dogs. There's going to be water stuff for the kids to do, and it's called Fun Day Sunday. So, hey, how's that sound? It's a fun day is not a true word. If those of you who are checking your dictionary, it's just kind of a play on words. So anyway, spell checker had a real tough time with that when I did that. But we're going to be just meeting out there. We'll have just some short worship. I don't know exactly how that will work, but I'm sure it'll be great. If you guys want to, you could bring like a lawn chair. And that way, if you need a place to sit, if we don't have enough seating, just bring something to sit on. And I think it's going to be probably till about noon. So Gay went downstairs. This is the kind of the children's team's plans and everything. So we're seeing if maybe we can get a water slide. Would everybody like a water slide? Everybody would like a water slide. Yeah, all the kids would like a water slide. And, I think that's it. Would the children please come on up? Hello, guys. Are you guys staying cool or hot? You're staying cool? That means you're staying in the house. Because it's not cool outside. You've been staying outside, but you've been staying cool too? Would you stretch forth your hand? We're going to pray for them. Father, we just bless your kids right now, Lord. We just thank you for their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have entrusted us, Lord, as parents. Lord, you've entrusted us, Lord, as spiritual leaders, as teachers, and so, Lord, we just ask today that you would guide and lead us, Lord, and especially, God, that you would allow their hearts to receive the truth, the reality that's going to be shared with them. Help them, Lord, to grow and become who you've called them to be, Lord, today, not in just the future, Lord, but today. Help them be who you've called them to be. We bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can go. It's like, I could keep preaching, but it's like, praise the Lord. Well, we have some guests in the house. Huh? Family in the house. Family guests. Guests who are family, right? And Eric did his first wedding ceremony yesterday, right? For his sister. How did that go? We're a little nervous, though. Yeah, it's your sister, right? It's like family. It's like I'm on the spot here. But you got their names correct, right? You weren't using somebody else's notes. You, Bill, and no, it's John. It's like I haven't done that yet, but I saw someone else do it. It's not good. But we're going to have them come on up and share about what's been going on in their lives. And I think Eric or Nancy might have a word for us today. He said, what do you want me to share on? I said, whatever the Lord leads you to have for us, because I want God's fresh manna. Does anybody else want that? Does anybody want old stale manna that was used 20 years ago and was really good then, but now it's kind of nasty? I think that's not what we want. We want what's fresh, what God has for us today. So, Eric, and are you coming up too, Nancy? Let's give it up for our family, Eric and Nancy Lopez from Redding, California.
could, yeah. You guys could both do it.
He's just going to go.
I'll use that. Okay. How's everybody doing? Who's excited to be in church today? Okay. So I wanted to, real quick before I start, I just really felt, before we came, I felt that it was really important to honor somebody amazing in our lives, and that is Glenn and Lotta Bodine. Like, I don't know if you guys understand the blessing that they are to this place. But they came to this church a couple years ago, like the year, like they came, and then like 6 months later, Nancy and I left. And whenever I think about that, I'm like, God, like, thank you, because they could have came a year after we left, and we would have never got to meet them. And they've been such a blessing in my life. And getting to hear Glenn worship and lead worship, like, he could have been planted in any church, but he was planted in this church. And so aren't you guys just glad that you have Glenn and Lotta to lead us in worship? Like, it's amazing. It's anointed. And I know Glenn's very humble, and he's like, oh, you know, whatever. But honestly, like, you know, my wife and I spent the last couple days with them, and it was just so fun just to get to hang out and get to pull out his guitar, and we would just enter into some worship. And it was good. It was fresh, and it was amazing. And also, I wanted to... I wish Pastor Gay was here, but I wanted to honor our pastors, Pastor Mike and Gay, because they truly are another set of parents to my wife and I, and they've really set us up for success and laid a really good foundation of just the supernatural. And honestly, like, some of you guys know our journey of going down to Reading, and it wasn't an easy one. And I really feel like we owe a lot of what that foundation was laid by what Pastor Mike and Gay you know, instilled in us. Like, I remember calling Pastor Mike hoping to get some encouragement at one time when we were really struggling. And he encouraged me, but not in the way I was hoping. Like, I'm thinking, like, a father's embrace, like, oh, I love you. You're going to be okay, son. He was more like, you just need to go grab your family and pray. And just, he didn't say this, but I heard, like, just stop being a crybaby and go grab your family and pray. And I was like, okay. So, I mean, it was what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. But I was like, can we just give it up for our pastor? Like, honestly, the way this man leads is an inspiration to me, and inspiration. Hopefully it inspires you guys. Like, honestly, if you guys don't quite know your pastors yet, get to know them. Go buy them coffee or make them dinner, or have Gaylene make you dinner because she can cook. Don't tell her I just offered her home up, but just show up. Be like, hey, we're here. But I'm super excited to get this opportunity to share. Honestly, this is a dream of mine. My wife and I, you know, a lot of you guys know we served at this church for a lot of years in the youth ministry. And, you know, I got opportunities to speak here, speak at the youth. And ever since we went down to Reading a couple of years ago, what was supposed to be a 9-month journey is now going on 4 years. And ever since we've been down there, though, I've always thought, like, man, it would be so amazing to get to come back home and just share my heart and just, you know, kind of almost like being a son who left and you know, gets to come back and say, Mom and Dad, like, look what I learned. And so it's being up here, honestly, is a dream come true for me. And I just want you guys to know the significance of us being here. Like, I love this place. I love One Life. I still have to think about it every time I say One Life, not Church on the Move, but One Life. Even though I still have an eric@cotm.net, that's okay. And so, but honestly, like, I'm so honored to be here. I love you guys. You know, we try to keep up with what's happening here. And Pastor Mike and I try to, you know, we text every so often, about, you know, once a month, every other month about that. And you know, I text him about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and just told him, like, hey, we're going to be up. Is there any way we can serve you? And he said, yeah. He's like, you know, first off, would you like to speak? And I was like, yeah, I like to hear myself talk, so sure. And so, I'm just kidding. But But it's a true honor. And so praying for you guys, praying for what God wanted you guys to hear today. I was thinking about it, and if you, anybody who knows me knows, like, I love to speak. Like, I this is what I live to do. I live to inspire people. And so God's always speaking to me through different ways, through my children, through my wife, through, you know, the guy who cut me off. Like, you know, like, he's always speaking to me. And so I'm always, like, writing notes down, like, ooh, that's a good message right there. And so I have, like, messages and stuff I've spoke, some stuff that's just in here, just, you know, for another time. And I'm like, God, you know, like, I have messages I can bring. Like, what do you want me to bring to the house? And sitting there at work, and I'm reading this Life called Christ in You by Eric Johnson. And it's an amazing book. If you guys want a good read, it's really good. It's by Eric Johnson, who's a pastor down there at Bethel. And I feel like God say, turn to page 66, halfway down, and just read right there. And I'm like, okay, 66. And I love journeys. I love when God takes you on journeys like that. Like, I love when God's like, open a book or open your Bible, you know, and I just love finding out where God's going to take me, and also love those times where it's not God, where, like, I open it up and it's like, and then they all died, and I'm like, oh, that's not obviously God speaking to me, but in this instance it was. And so I'm like, cool. So open the book to 66, go down, and it said, there was just this phrase, and it said, loving people and worshiping God. And so I was like, there it is. Like, and kind of a message that I've never really spoken before. I've never really preached about, but I really feel like God wants you guys to know something about loving people and worshiping God, because loving people and worshiping God go hand in hand. You cannot do one without the other. Because by loving people, you are worshiping God, and the fruit of worshiping God is loving his people. And so, or his children, if you will. And I think the church, you know, not just talking about this church, but the body of Christ, does really good about talking about loving people and loving those around us and loving the sinner, not the sin and all that stuff. But we often have a hard time demonstrating that. And we're, you know, we're in church and we're like, yeah, we love people. You know, I love my neighbor and all that stuff. But then, you know, like I said, somebody cuts you off and you're like, ooh, you might say some things. And you're like, good thing pastor isn't around, because he'd be giving me that eye. But I'm going to read a verse that we all know, John 3:16-17. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I'm going to read 17 one more time, because I think we know John 3:16, but it's 17 that I think a lot of people don't focus on. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus actually came to this earth and loved the sinful. Again, not loving the sin, but he loved the sinners. Often you'll read and you'll find you're not finding him. Yeah, you find him in the church, you find him in the synagogues, you find him there, but you're finding him hanging out with the people that maybe he shouldn't be. You know, in the world's eye, he shouldn't be hanging out with. And you find him loving people that others had a hard time loving, and you find him showing grace to people that they're like, why is he doing that? Why is he showing them grace? Well, because he didn't love them for what they could do for him, but because they deserved love. You and I deserve love, and I just want you guys to know that, because often for the namesake of, oh, you know, I'm nothing, God is everything, we kind of take ourselves out of the equation, and we think, I don't deserve anything. You know, and I do believe it's true, the whole thing where they say, like, you know, Jesus got what we deserve so we can get what he deserves, that whole thing. But we need to know that we actually, like, we serve a good father that wants to love us, that wants he's so passionate about us. Like, I look at my kids sometimes and I'm just so overwhelmed with love. Like, I look at them and I can't, like, contain, like, I just want to, like, squeeze them and like, I can't even explain it. How much more does the Father look down at us and just love us? Just love us. Right where we are at. Right what we're doing. Like, when my kids get dirty, my love doesn't turn off for them. It's not like I'm like, no, you need to go get clean up. You're like, just, I can't love you right now. Just go take a bath, you know. Go wash your hands, they're sticky. Like, no, I accept them as they are because they're my children. Like, I have a love for them that's just so deep, so passionate. Again, like, how much more can does the Father love us? I love them because they're my sons and my daughter. My son and my daughter, I'm way impressed with them before they ever do anything impressive. Does that make sense? Like, I love them way before. Like, for those of us who have kids, we don't understand it, but this baby who we have no history with comes into the world, and we're like, oh my gosh, I love you more than anything right now, right? And we can't even explain, like, we're like crying, and like this, like this baby that's crying, and like a snot, and like all the thing. We're like, I just love you so much right now. Like, I don't know what I would do without you. We can't even imagine our life without this little baby that, again, no history with, just kind of appeared, in, you know, it came into our life. And it's amazing, that love. And so in one of the stories in the Bible that I love, that I feel like depicts a perfect picture of what Jesus and how Father God sees us and how he loves us and how he accepts us for who we are, is a story in John 8, the woman caught in adultery. It says this. It says, at dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, talking about Jesus, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." So we have this picture. We have this woman who, it says, she was actually caught in adultery. And I was kind of looking, researching a little bit last night real quick, because it says she was caught in adultery. So when you're caught in the act of something, you're actually doing something. And if she was caught, some of the stuff said online that potentially she could have been, you know, almost naked. Like, she was actually caught in the act, getting pulled out. Maybe she had an opportunity to grab something to cover herself. But here she is in her most, like, vulnerable state, in her most naked state, getting caught, getting pulled out of the act that she just was, brought before Jesus, and they're saying, "Look at her. Look at this mess. Look at how disgusting she is. Look at, you know, what she's doing. Jesus, what do you say we should do with her?" Totally expecting that he would go by, you know, the law. And what does Jesus do? He says, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." He loves her. He says, that mess you're in, okay, let's get past that. Too often we get stuck in the mess of people. We get stuck in the mess of those around us that we have a hard time seeing through the lens of love. When that's all God wants us to do is see through this lens of love. And believe me, I know it's not easy. I know when you have somebody in your life and they're messing up and they're making messes left and right and they're offending you and they're offending those that you love. And you're like, how do I love that person? You just do. I don't want to oversimplify this, but you not loving them, you not showing the love to them that you should, is actually causing a bigger issue in them or in you than solving the issue. Because that person needs love. That person needs to see the love of the Father. And we're talking about Christians, non-Christians. We're talking about people that all in all walks of life. Like, especially non-Christians, we got to get past this whole, like, you know, we're the church and they're the world. Like, it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be, like, this line. God, like, God wants to erase that line. God wants us to be an accepting people. I'm not saying God wants us to approve of everything that's happening in the world, but God wants us to be an accepting people. That is the heart of the Father. My kids, I love my kids so much. And so, and I haven't met anybody that doesn't love my kids, but if I did, I wouldn't get it. It wouldn't make sense to me. Like, my kids are awesome. And they're like super good looking and like they do cool stuff. And my son break dances and my daughter, you know, dances prophetically and they're gorgeous and they're mine. Why wouldn't you love my kids? Like, it wouldn't make, I can't even fathom, like, what is it about them that you don't love? Like, you, like, I don't get it. That's how the Father looks at us. Like, if he's looking down at us and saying, why are you not loving that person? Like, I don't understand. Like, they're amazing. Like, that's how God sees us as his children. He looks down at us and said, they're amazing. And they're like, you're like, but God, like, they're making messes all over the place. They're offending people. They're offending me. They're posting stuff on Facebook and I don't like it. They changed their picture to the rainbow thing and now I'm super offended. God, did you see that? He's like, yeah, but they're amazing. You should just love them. Like, you should just love them. It's not an issue with them. It's an issue with us. It's an issue with our heart. There needs to be a heart shift, because if we want to see the kingdom of God advance, if you want to truly see this church, now I'm talking about this church, advance, we need to get to a place where we can love our brothers and sisters, Christians and non-Christians, our neighbor, literally our neighbor next door who plays his music too loud, our neighbor next door who has his dog barking, our neighbor next door who parks in our parking spot. Like, we need to learn how to love them. We need to truly learn how to love them. God's heart is that if people make mistakes, it's going to be okay. I'm not saying it's okay that they're making mistakes. I'm not saying it's okay that they make messes, but ultimately it's going to be okay. Like, if my kids make a mess, yeah, it may be frustrating in the moment. Like, I'm talking about a literal mess. Like, they, you know, spill something. Like, I may in the moment, like, freak out, like, oh, like, this is a mess. Like, what do we do? But it's going to be okay. Just go get a rag and clean it up. Like, it's gonna be okay. Like, is Jesus not big enough to clean up somebody's mess? Is he? He absolutely is. Like, we can no longer be people who are afraid of people's messes, because Jesus wasn't afraid of people's messes. He wasn't afraid of this woman's mess that was caught in adultery. Like, we sometimes get it in our head, like, Jesus, you know, they hate sin. So anytime there's a sinner, like, his presence leaves. It's like, okay, honestly, like, I know, like, he doesn't want to be around sin. Hate the sin. But we have to learn how to love the sinner, truly love the sinner. It cannot be words anymore. We can't continue just saying these phrases, you know, I'm sinner saved by grace. Like, no, we have to learn to love the sinner, truly love the sinner. There has to be a heart shift. They deserve the grace of God to cover them just as much as we deserve it. Like, we're not better than them because we came to church and we got saved. Like, everybody deserves the grace of God. You know, I love this place. Like, I gave my heart to the Lord right here. Like, came up to the altar, prayed, cried, snot. It was ugly, but it was beautiful at the same time. Like, one of those things. I don't get it. But it was amazing. Gave my heart to the Lord, and something changed right then and there. But it wasn't that I, like, left and now, like, I'm, like, you know, angels and, like, wings are, like, and I'm better than everybody. It wasn't anything like that. Like, now God now just gave me this mandate to just love the goodness out of people, because he showed me that ultimate love. The goal isn't to lead people to the church, but to lead them to love, to lead them to Christ. The Bible doesn't say, imitate me as I imitate the church. It says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so you may think, like, oh my gosh, if I can just get my sister, who she's making a mess, she just needs to come over, hear a word from Pastor Mike. She'll stop that sinning. She just needs to come, and she just needs to sit under some worship from Glenn. Oh my gosh. Jesus will touch her heart and all that sin will just disappear. Woo! Maybe God's waiting for you to come in with love and just love the hell out of them. See what I'm saying? We have to understand that this. I love church. Like Sunday's my favorite day. I love coming to church. Even when my kids are like, "Do we have to go to church?" I'm like, "Yes, we get to go to church. We're gonna worship and we're gonna hang out with people and we're gonna love God." But I'm not dependent on a building or a place or any of that, so I could, you know, find love or give love. Like, yes, it'd be amazing if this place was full of people who didn't know Jesus. And I think that that will happen one day. But we can't continue. We absolutely cannot just keep waiting until, like, I keep inviting them to church. You know, like, yes, invite them to church. But while they're not coming to church, be the church. While they're not stepping into this building, show them what the church looks like. You know, and that doesn't mean you're like cramming Bible down their face. That doesn't mean you're you know, like throwing scripture at them and like, you know, sharing, you know, scripture verses to their Facebook page. Like, you know, I mean, if that works for you, that's awesome. If you got saved through that, hallelujah, I'm so happy. But I think a more effective way is if we could just love practically. If we could just find a way to just turn our love on and keep our love on, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're saying, and just say, I'm going to love you where you're at. Because this is what I look at real quick. This is how I see evangelism. You hear that word evangelism, and you think, like, oh, I'm not an evangelist. Like, that's for those people who are, like, on fire for God. And they're like, hey, you want to know Jesus? Jesus loves you. It doesn't have to be like that. If that works for you, keep doing it. Awesome. But really, what evangelism looks like in a practical sense is just love. Is just getting someone, not having the mindset, I need to get this person from point A to Z, A being not saved, Z being saved, but looking at it and say, I don't know where I'm going to find this person in their journey. I want to get them from point A to B. Like, when I got saved, it wasn't like I came in here, was at point A, and then got up here, and that was point Z. Like, there were people praying for me. Like, my wife was praying for me. I found out my father-in-law was praying for me. He's like, please, dear Jesus, let this man get saved before he, you know, takes my daughter and does God know what? Like, he was praying for me. We used to do this thing here called the Prayer of Three. Is that what it's called? And you had a list, and you would write down three people, and you'd pray for them, and then you'd see them get saved, and you'd write a new three. And I was on Tim St. Martin's Prayer of Three. And so it worked. Like, hallelujah, you got one out of the three. Like, I don't know what the other two were. But ultimately, like, evangelism looks like coming up to somebody and just loving them where they're at. And I can't tell you, I can't give you, a 1-2-3 step of what that looks like. It's case by case. Like, I'm talking about coworkers who you're like, man, I just wish they would stop, you know, telling dirty jokes and cussing and all this stuff. Like, you're not going, it's going to be a fight if you come in with all this Bible and all this stuff. Like, the Bible will work, okay? I'm not saying that the Bible isn't powerful, but what I'm saying is that love is powerful because Jesus is love. So if you come in with that love and love that person where they're at, you'll be amazed to see where people are. Like, Nancy and I, we know people that, like, they tell us, like, the way you and Nancy are, just, it's amazing. Like, you know, and it's people that we might not even have, like, a real relationship with. You know, I've had people tell me, like, I'm inspired by your marriage. And it's people that, like, I don't really even talk to, but they just watch how we do life. And your life needs to be the image of the church. It needs to be the image of Jesus. That's how we're going to see the kingdom of God advance. That's how we're going to see the city of Yakima saved. Your city needs you to love them. They're hurting. Like, any city you're in. But let's talk about the Yakima Valley. Like, I love the Yakima Valley. Like, sometimes people, like, kind of trip out when they hear I'm from Yakima. And I'm like, it's okay. It's a little Mexico, and I love it. Okay? We're in Redding. There's not a lot of people like me. But it's okay. Like, I don't blend in very well, but my family does. And so it's all good. But I absolutely have a heart for this for this valley and really hope and pray that this valley gets an encounter with Jesus, with our Father. But the only way it's going to happen is when God's people come in and just start loving the goodness out of this city. You know, we want to see this building full of people. We need to go out there and start loving people really, really good. Really, really good, to the point where they're asking, like, what's different about you? Like, you love like no other. And you're like, I just love Jesus. And then you find them in church. It's amazing how it works. The agenda of God is to love his people. Do we share his same agenda? We should leave from worship and want to love more. Worship should make our love grow. Now, that term worship is love. Like, it's more than just singing a song. Like, worship is more than just lifting up your hands. Worship is actually lifting up your heart, okay? Like, yes, when you come here, we get to worship, and it's amazing. But let's not wait until 10:30 when we come in and we're like, oh, I cannot wait for worship. I hope they sing my favorite song. Oh, my gosh. Oh, he's singing it. Yes, I get to worship my, yes, Jesus. Yes, I'm worshiping. Now this is worship. Like, there are a lot of people, I think, that can come in and worship and lift their hands and nothing happened in their heart. And that's really sad for me, because I know I've been in moments like that where I've entered into a worship session in the sense of music happening and people playing, but nothing's happening in my heart. And it's not the goal of God for us just to come and just be involved in a concert. Like, this is more than just a concert. This is entering into his kingdom, entering into his courts, like getting to turn our heart, turn our affection to Jesus. Because what I believe when that happens, when we turn our affection and we truly, truly worship, we'll be amazed on how much our love turns on. If you're having a hard time loving people, maybe you should take a step back and think and ask yourself, how is my worship life? Like, what does it look like when I worship? Because worship is a lifestyle. Worship isn't just, like I said, it's not just lifting up your hands. It's something that's happening in your heart. Like, we need to understand that it's not just about, like, putting on the CD and putting in our iPod and, you know, like, yes, do that. Have your quiet time before the Lord, but worship needs to be constantly throughout the day. Because when you're able to worship constantly throughout the day, you're able to love constantly throughout the day. Because your worship will produce love. And worship, your worship shifts atmospheres. Like, when we come into this place, or when we're at home, or we're in our car, or we're at work, when we have our worship on, we're actually shifting the atmosphere. What's happening in the atmosphere? Like, you guys got to know this. You guys are spiritual beings. Do you guys all know that? Like, we're all spiritual beings, okay? And so, that being said, anywhere we go, not just church, your workplace, the grocery store, the car wash, like, anywhere you are, there's something happening in the atmosphere. Us as worshipers, us who are shifting our hearts, get to come into that place and shift what's happening in the atmosphere. We saw Jesus do it all the time. He walk into a place, little girl's dead. They're like, she's dead. They're crying. There's no pulse. There's no breath. What happens? He doesn't let their atmosphere shift what's happening on inside of him, but he actually lets what's inside of him shift what's happening in the atmosphere. And that's what we get to do. That's what we get to do when we turn our worship on and we turn our love on. We get to come into a place that's really hostile, or there might be, you know, just death in the atmosphere, and we get to shift what's happening. Like, we need to understand, like, we're so powerful. Like, God trusts and trusts us with so much. And the second we tap into that is the second that we're going to see amazing things happen. Like, some of you might have family members that every time they come over, that, you know, they come to family events and stuff, you're just, like, waiting for the blow up. You're waiting for what's going to happen. You get to, don't let what's happening in them alter what's happening in your atmosphere. Like, you actually, and then I'm not, like, what's happening inside is so much more powerful than what you can say. You can tell them, hey, you need to stop that. But if you just let what's happening inside come out and just shift what's going on, like, you'd be so surprised to see how that person alters what happens. It might not happen right away, but we have to learn that there's something happening inside of us that's so powerful when we worship, when we turn our love on, that we get to shift the things that are happening around us. And we need to learn how to worship in the chaos. That's where we grow. It's easy to worship when everything's going great, right? It's super easy when you have, you know, you have your job, you have money in the bank, your kids are listening, your car runs good, family's getting along. Like, it's super easy to lift your hands then and to lift your heart then. But that's not where you're growing. You grow when things are hitting the fan. And you know what I mean by things hitting the fan, okay? That's where you grow. You grow when there's chaos around you, when your rent's coming up and you don't have the money, when your car's breaking down and you don't have another car, when your marriage is all scattered and you're like, I don't know what's happening. That's where you grow. That's when you learn to worship in that, that's where you get to see the fruit. Because if you don't learn to worship in the chaos, you're not probably not going to worship in the calm. And that's just the reality of it. Because we need to learn to worship in the chaos. We need to be people that when things happen, we're not so swayed by it. Like, it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. It's not okay to stay in this just like, oh, everything just sucks right now. My life is just so miserable. Like, but God is good. Like, we're so quick to just like, everything is so horrible, but I know Jesus is still on the throne. Like, okay. You recognize that something's happening, stop focusing on the problem and start focusing on the answer, okay? And how we get there is when we step into this worship, when we step into a place where we know that our God is the most powerful, that our God is bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than the things that are happening in our lives, that he actually cares enough to come and meet us and that he is a good father, you know? And I know some of us have a hard time. I've been on this journey where I have to... Like, now I can really, truly love the Father. Because not having, you know, an active Father in my life, it was really hard to, like I can love Jesus. I can love Holy Spirit. But calling, like, Father, like, that one's a little bit of a struggle for me. And if some of you are in that same boat, you just need to know, like, let God take you on this journey where he meets you as a Father. And you're like, Eric, I don't know how to interact with the Father because I've never had one. Well, let him teach you. Go into the Word. Find scriptures where he calls himself Father. Find scriptures where you see Father God move and let him teach you. In Matthew 22:35-40, it says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving people includes loving yourself. Loving people includes loving yourself. I think too long in the sake of staying humble and staying like not sounding conceited, we've kind of ignored that. We're like, yes, love your neighbor. It's like, no. You love your neighbor like you love yourself. So what is that saying? It's saying you actually truly can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. You need to become your biggest fan. Like, my wife loves me almost too much, and I love it. She's truly, like, I know, like, without a shadow of a doubt, like, my wife is in love with me. I know that. I actually need to love myself more than my wife loves myself. I can't ever be dependent on that love. I can't, because the second she does something to offend me, or which rarely happens, I usually offend her, but it's okay. And but the second she does anything wrong, or the second she does anything that I don't like if all my love is in all, you know, all my eggs are in that basket, like, what is that going to do to me? Like, I need to know, like, that I am loved. I need to know, I need to, like, love myself so much. Like, jokingly, I'll be in the bathroom looking in the mirror, and my wife will be in the other room, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, Nancy, oh my gosh. She comes running in like, what? Like, what, is everything okay? Babe, how do you love such a beautiful man? How do you just, you're such a blessed woman. Like, how do you love this beautiful man? Like, and it's jokingly, but honestly, like, I tell myself, like, I'm a beautiful man. And it's not so I can be, like, conceited and, ooh, look at me. But it's like, I need to know that I'm amazing before anybody tells me I'm amazing. Because he tells me I'm amazing. Like, I need to actually recognize that. If we talk to some people the way we talk to ourselves, we would be committing a hate crime. Like, we need to love the goodness out of ourselves. And obviously it's a balance, because obviously people can take that to the extreme and just be so conceited and so inward focused. But I'm not talking about that. So if you're hearing that, stop it. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is recognizing that you are truly amazing. My daughter is, she just graduated, I guess you could say, first grade. And it's amazing to me that I have a first grader. I don't know how that happened, but we do. And I had a parent-teacher conference with her teacher this in the, like, my middle, halfway through the year. And it was just like praise, praise, praise. Like, it was, my daughter was, you know, a leader in the classroom. She's working at, like, you know, second grade, third grade level. She's reading at that capacity. Like, she's trying to do multiplication at seven. Like, I still don't know how to do multiplication. And she's like, you know, she's just going after it. And I'm just like, wow. Like, I was so proud as a father. Like, look at my daughter. It's like, she's always amazed me. Like, honestly, she's always amazed me. But hearing, you know, I love as a father to hear praises about my kids. Like, I can't get enough of it. Like, I'll eat it up like candy. Like, tell me how amazing my kids are. Please tell me. And so, but wouldn't it be a shame if when my daughter's getting this praise, she's like, oh, no. Don't give me the praise. Give my dad the praise because he helped bring me into this world. No. It's not me. It's all my dad. No. No, I want my daughter to know she's amazing. And I want her to recognize that her hard work pays off. And I want her to know that, yes, it was a privilege to be a part of bringing her into this world and that I love her so much. But I want her to know that she deserves that praise. And too often, for the namesake of staying humble and making sure God gets all the glory, people compliment us. And we're like, oh, it's not me, it's God. Like, can we just stop that for a second? Because if it was God, it would be so much better. Like, honestly, like, it's just real talk. Like, you know, I've spoken at places and even spoken here and hearing people say, like, hey, you did an amazing job, you know? And it's really tempting for me just to be like, it's all God. But you guys, if this was God, like, you guys would just be all on the floor right now, like, just not even here. We'd be in the heavenlies, okay? Like, I get to co-labor with God, okay? And I'm not talking about me taking all the praise and me being like, yes, thank you. I know it's good. Keep it coming. Tell me how amazing I am. Like, but what I am saying is being able to take a compliment, being able to say, yes, I'm amazing. Thank you for telling me. And then giving God his praise. Like, you don't need to prove anything to anybody. You don't need to give God praise right there. Like, Take the compliment. Know you're amazing. Know you have something to offer. Know that God put something inside of you. You know, like, I don't ever want my kids to feel like they need to give me all the credit for the things that they've done in their life. Like, absolutely. Like, if I've helped them and taught them how to do something, like, yes. Like, if you want to say, you know, my dad helped me and all that stuff, but go ahead. Take the credit. Like, I don't think God's up there waiting, like, ooh, they're getting a compliment. They better give me some credit because I'm the whole reason they're even there. They didn't give me credit. Dang it, they're going to hear about it when they get up here. They're going to hear about it. Like, I don't think he's keeping track of those things, okay? So, yes, give God credit, but know that you're amazing. Know that it's okay for you to take a compliment. You know, there's a difference between being haughty and confident in who you are because he is inside of you. Like, I am impressed with myself, but I'm not so impressed with myself because, you know, like, I'm just all about me. I'm impressed with myself because he lives inside of me. Me knowing that he lives inside of me allows me to be impressed with me. And I know it doesn't make sense, but since when does the kingdom have to make sense, right? Like, in the kingdom, A plus B equals elephant. So, God desires his children to love themselves and be confident in who they are. Like, we got to get this down. We got to get this down because if we don't learn how to love each other, how are we going to love the world? If we don't learn how to love ourselves, I meant, how are we going to love the world? Like, we have to understand, like, we have to get this. We have to, like, the church, this is so vital that we get this down before we move on, loving ourselves, knowing that we're amazing. The kingdom of God will advance very slowly if his kids don't stop downplaying who they are. Like, it's going to move. It's going to happen. But can you imagine how much faster the kingdom of God will advance if we all recognize, like, I'm amazing. I'm amazing because God made me. And I have talents to offer because God's put them inside of me. Like, and stop walking around with, like, oh, like, I'm, you know. You ever tell somebody, like, oh, you're so beautiful. And they're like, oh, no, I'm not. Like, or you're like, you're, you know, that was really good what you did. And they're like, oh, no, it's nothing. Like, you know, we're so quick to downplay ourselves. And we have to learn to not do that. We have to learn this because we need to know loving ourselves is going to allow us to love the people around us. And loving the people around us is going to allow us to truly worship. And to truly worship is going to allow us to do all that stuff mixed into one. Does that make sense? Like, I want to see God move in such a radical, radical way. In this place, in any place, you know, in the church, outside the church. Like, I really believe God's agenda is to move in such a powerful way. And God, like, it's his pleasure to use his children. It's his pleasure to use his children, to use you. Like, recognize that he wants to use you, you know? And you're like, well, what can I offer God? Like, what do I do? Like, go on a journey. Find out what you could offer him. Find out what he's put you on this planet for. Like, don't live day by day. Like, find out, get a vision for your life. Like, find out what God has put you on this planet for. Like, for me, simply, I feel like God's put me on this planet to inspire people. And whatever that looks like, whether it means I'm speaking to people or whether it's one-on-one or whatever it is, you know, whether it's making videos, like, I love to do video stuff. Like, as long as I'm inspiring people, like, that's what I want to do. Like, I get to co-labor with God in that. I get to co-labor with our Father in that. I get to hold his hand in that and say, let's go. Like, you're going to show up because I'm here and because you're here. Like, it's us together. Does that make sense? So stand with me. I want to pray for you guys. We're in such a time right now where this, I feel like this message is so vital for the church because of what's happening in the world. And I don't want to get into all the stuff, like, that's not my goal here, but there's stuff happening in the world where the world's hurting. It needs our love. It needs real, raw, authentic love. It needs us to come in and be us and know who we are and to love them really well. And so I just want to ask today, if you guys can close your eyes. I just want to ask, who wants to do that? Like, if you are in a place right now where you're like, I want to love so much. I want to worship with everything in me. And I want to learn how to love myself. And I really feel like that last part, the loving myself, is where people get hung up, where people feel like, I don't know how to do that really well. And I would just say, if that's you today, if that's you and you're saying, I don't know how to love myself really well, I just want you to be so brave and I just want you to raise your hand. And so, God, I just pray for those. I pray for people, the people that are in this place that just have a deep desire to learn how to love themselves. Not so they can be, you know, haughty or be whatever, you know, inwardly focused, but so they can serve your kingdom so well, God. I know it's your heart. I know it's your desire for his children to know how amazing they are, to know who they are and whose they are. Yeah, God. And I just thank you so much, Lord, that right now you're instilling this love inside of each person. Those that raise their hands right now, you're giving them a revelation of the love that you have for them. You're giving them an ounce of the love that you have for them so they could understand how amazing they are. They could understand how great they are, how purposeful they are, how they are not an accident. And I just right now, I break off lies. I break off the lie that you are not going to do anything. I break off the lie that because you're not seen up front, you're not going to do anything amazing. I break off the lie that you don't know how to love well, that you are, you know, controlled by your temperaments, that you are not in control of your feelings. And I just break off all that stuff that maybe people have told you, maybe you've told yourself. And I just replace it right now with the peace of God. I replace it with the love of God. Yeah. Yeah, just stay in this place for a second. I really feel like God has something for all of us, but especially for those who said, I want to learn how to love myself. I want to learn how to truly love myself so I can love really, really well. I got this image. I feel like there's people in here that you've had it inside of you, like an egg, like I'm seeing like a physical, like a chicken egg inside of you, and that's representing like your love, but it's in the shell, like it's not cracked yet. And God today is cracking that egg, and it's the yolk is just being released inside of you to know how to love yourself. I feel like today is going to be a vital part of your life, of those who want to love, that you're going to leave this place and your eyes are going to be open. The lenses of God, the lenses of love are going to be on you, and you're going to be able to see past people's faults. You're going to be able to see past the people that you have a hard time with, and you're just going to see love, 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 love. Yeah, those people right now, I know they're coming to your mind as I'm talking. They're coming to your mind, those who you struggle loving, those people at work, your family members, people that, you know, just people. And right now, God is just revealing how he sees them. He's just revealing how he loves them, and he's instilling in you just a love like no other. Yeah, so we worship you, God. We thank you, God. And Lord, I just pray that our love would be just so on. It would be permanently on. The off switch would be broken off. Yeah. And that our worship would be like no other. That our worship, our hearts lifting up to you would be like no other. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, how good you are. Thank you for the revelation of who you are. Thank you, God, that your love never fails, that your love is so much bigger than our hate. Your love is so much bigger than bitterness. Your love is so much bigger than it all. Yeah, and I just declare love, love, love in this place. and that this would be a people, that your children would be a people who know how to love everyone, who know how to love the unchurched, the churched, everyone, no matter where they're at, no matter what they've done, no matter what mess they've created. Yeah, I just declare love over this place. And I just thank you so much, Papa, that you, God, are love, that you, God, represent love. You don't know how to do anything else. You don't know how to not be love. Yeah, and we just worship your name in this place, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. All right, thank you, guys.
Stay cool. That means stay inside.